This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher. And in the USA, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, guys.
Now, plenty to talk about, but we are awaiting a big earnings report later in the day, Nick, with NVIDIA making its latest announcement. What are markets expecting? What will they be disappointed with? And how crucial are these numbers?
They're very crucial, Johnny, because we've had in recent weeks a little bit of, I would go ahead and call it a bit of a growth scare. Some people would say it's a possible growth scare, concerns about. I would say we are in the midst of a growth scare where we have tariff uncertainties and we have, for example, falling interest rate yields based on a couple of things that I want to get into before we talk NVIDIA, because NVIDIA is so pivotal this week to the stock market story, but more broadly, the risk, the state of risk assets itself, because it all kind of really pinnacled around the Walmart earnings recently. Walmart earnings came out during their call. They cited that forward guidance was going to be a little softer. And when I say forward guidance, I'm talking about the expectations for their revenues, their earnings, et cetera. That came in a little bit soft. And this is so key to the state of the US economy, because you got to think who has more data as a single company on the consumer than Walmart, right? The ginormous conglomerate serving the retail to everyone. So they actually pointed out they see some softness coming, and that spilled over into some risk concerns that followed through on both Friday and Monday's trading for the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and certainly the Russell, where we saw more consumer confidence numbers coming out of Michigan, also the CB consumer confidence, pointing towards weakening in consumer outlook. So we have this combination of rising inflation concerns as well as weaker consumer outlook. And you have to remember, the consumer is so key to keeping this market at where it's at. I mean, for the last few years, the consumer has stayed very relatively strong compared to what forecasts were for. I think a large part of that has been strong labor markets in the United States overall have held up pretty well. But we've seen an interesting shift in risk markets. For the first time in quite some time, I really wanted to point out to listeners that you had the 10-year yield going down. And if you took that in the last few years and said, oh, look, the 10-year's down, shouldn't stocks be going up? Well, it was actually the opposite. We saw, coinciding with a drop in the 10-year yield, expectations for rate cuts slightly rising. You would think, hey, that's good for stocks, but not so much if it's on the concerns of growth slowing down in the United States, whether it be tariffs, whether it be just consumer outlook. And the one thing I would add, just as a bit of a nuance there, is that there's some interesting debate about these consumer confidence polls, because people bring their biases and politics into it. Now, of course, this is not a politics-focused page, but it does impact the markets. And when people feel a certain way politically and they have a change in leadership, I don't think it's coincidental that when isolated for Republicans versus Democrats, Democrats cited that they think there's more risk to inflation and more risk to growth, and Republicans went the opposite end. They said inflation should come down and growth should be good. But what's more important here, if we strip out the kind of the median, overall, consumers are more worried when aggregating everything together, including the moderates, Republicans, Democrats, etc. So there is a little bit of a consumer slowdown concern that we see happening in this market. And NVIDIA, as we circle back to that topic, is pivotal because, again, if you get NVIDIA disappointing in any way or simply not dazzling the markets, it could add fuel to this flame that's already kind of happening in the U.S. equity market.
And in a sense, Nick, what you're saying is that if markets are affected by political decisions, by ideology, rather than economics, then we can get a very confusing picture. You mentioned the differences between the Republicans and the Democrats, and it looks like some of these decisions that are being made are made on ideological grounds rather than economic ones. And I would imagine that a lot of people in the markets are very wary of these.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the thing is, whether we want to admit it or not, people make their investing decisions, their outlook decisions, their forecasts. There is bias always inherently involved because you can't pull that completely out of the crowd that is going to be in there. So I think that, you know, we started this post, Trump victory on a good note. We had a lot of hype around less regulation, tax cuts. And now we're starting to see this, okay, well, what about tariffs? What could they do here? And you're seeing people are nervous about that. There's whether you think on the other side of these tariffs, things will be better or things will be worse, regardless of how you feel about that. There's one certainty here, and that is uncertainty has risen.
Okay, let's switch subjects for a bit. Kenny, I wanted to ask you about the latest Australian CPI numbers, which were actually lower than expected. The Aussies have been fairly hawkish, haven't they? A Royal Bank of Australia has been hawkish over the last year or two. What effect have these CPI numbers had on sentiment?
Okay, let's just go back to the actual CPI numbers that we saw today. It was a monthly report, and inflation remained at 2.5%, which was just a drop lower than the estimate of 2.6%. And we should keep in mind that the monthly report is not as comprehensive as the quarterly report that Australia issues, but it still shows that inflation is under control. The core rate actually went up by 0.1%, but both the core rate and the headline rate are below 3%, so that's within the RBA inflation target. As far as the central bank's sentiment towards the central bank, I think that this inflation report shows that inflationary pressures still remain soft, and it does support the RBA cut that we saw last week. As you mentioned, the RBA has been very hawkish. This was the first rate cut in 4 years. It's been over a year that the RBA kept rates at the same level at 4.35%, and they finally cut by a quarter percent. But they do remain hawkish. They are concerned about inflationary risks, and I think Trump's tariffs could kick in, not so much against Australia, but against China. There's been a lot of talk about tariffs, but right now the only tariffs that are in place are against China, and Australia's largest trading partner is China. So a trade war with China and the U.S. would be really very bad news for Australia. And although the RBA is being hawkish, I think the markets are not really expecting any further rate cuts until May. But I think they will have to reconsider cutting some more if they want to get the Australian economy up and going again. Rates are just still too high, and the economy is not in very good shape.
I was looking at the latest oil numbers, guys, and the slide continues. I'm wondering whether one of the positive effects of Trumpism in terms of him wanting to do deals with Russia, between Russia and Ukraine, is that the outlook maybe for the gas and the oil industry in terms of prices is downwards. And we've seen that over the last few weeks from sort of a relative norm of around about $80 a barrel, well, now sort of drifting around the $70 a barrel, which is quite a sizable difference, 12, 13%, something like that. But I'm assuming, Nick, there are probably other reasons for it in terms of maybe OPEC plus supply and so on.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack with the oil movement that we've seen recently. And going back to the point that I made earlier about the 10-year yield falling for the first time in a while, that's where I think you look at oil prices at first and you say, hey, yay, we got lower gas pump prices. But hold your horses for a second, pause for just a moment. Why is oil dropping? You always have to ask with a little bit of skepticism, is oil dropping for a good reason or is oil dropping for maybe not such a good reason? And I think you got a little bit of good and a little bit of not so good in the picture here. As you mentioned, with Trump being the big deal maker and scoping out a deal with Ukraine and Russia and all that, yeah, that's bearish for the price of oil. If you think about, that could lift some concerns about geopolitical risk and supply lines could be reestablished, things like that. Maybe that is in the future. But I made the point earlier about the demand for bonds rushing in the last week or so. For the first time in quite some time, like I mentioned, the concern about falling yields is not helping the stock market, right? So that dynamic we've seen for the last few years, inflation concerns are down, pump the stock market. That dynamic has shifted a little bit. Now we see inflation is still kind of risky. Growth is the one sort of dropping compared to expectations. And that fall in growth expectations also is dragging the price of oil down too. If you get a global slowdown, we're seeing missing economic data, not just in the United States, but also in Europe. And if you get some of that slowing economic reading trend continuing, that could hurt the demand side for oil in tandem with a deal perhaps happening with Ukraine and Russia. So there's a little bit of both of those scenarios kind of tilting in the favor of lower oil prices at the moment, with U.S. oil hitting fresh lows. I mean, for the last several weeks, this is going back before about December of last year. We're seeing prices back to those levels. We had the big spike up, and then pretty much following the administration takeover from Trump, we do see oil prices have pretty persistently dropped from that point.
Just as we're speaking, it just reminded me, I saw this morning an article in the BBC where we're trying to keep track of Trump's policies and thinking. And it says here that his policy is a fundamental reordering of American foreign policy for more than 75 years. So things are really moving at a really dizzying pace. And Nick, you mentioned the resource deal with Ukraine and Russia, which may be signed on Friday. And it seems that Russian President Putin doesn't want to be left on the sidelines. And he said yesterday he was also open to a deal with the U.S. On resources. So perhaps we might see in the next few weeks some further shakeup of the resource markets, especially oil, perhaps gold. I'm wondering if you would agree that things could get a little more volatile in the next few weeks because of these potential resource deals between the U.S. and Russia and the Ukraine.
Yeah, I think there's been, of course, like the supply constriction with oil the last few years has been a concern. And then, you know, there's a lot of interesting moves happening in commodities. We also have China kind of coming back online. It seems like the government there seems a little bit more pro-growth now, pro-business, if you will. So you're seeing some demand come in for a lot of raw materials, of course, China being a massive exporting economy, but then maybe held at bay with all this tariff concern. What does that, you know, kind of come in? So the commodities world, there's a lot of forces at play here. You have some slowing economic data, but you also have potential peace talks. You also have China kind of coming back onto the stage. And Kenny, we can't forget, I'm going to keep bringing it up on the podcast, the Bank of Japan backed into a corner where it seems like they need to rate hike. Is that on your radar too?
Absolutely. It looks like they're planning to raise rates. The Japanese yen has had a very good year, so much so that it's the top G10 currency against the US dollar, which is a little hard to believe. Last year, the yen lost about 11.5% against the dollar. This year, it's up 5%. It's already below 150. And Japanese government bonds are in record, well, the highest level since, I think, 2009. So there is this very widespread expectation that the Bank of Japan will continue to raise rates. And I think I wrote today that even the KG Bank of Japan is signaling that they plan to raise rates. So it may not be very large increases. We may see 1% this year, or even 1.5%, which is a lot lower than the other central banks. But as you mentioned, it's a very important step as far as the Bank of Japan is concerned, raising interest rates, which we haven't seen in years and years.
Finally, guys, we haven't spoken about Bitcoin for a few weeks, and well, it is dropping big time. We hit a high of 108,000. Now we're down to 86, 87. What's going on?
Yeah, I think this is just another indicator in the list of things that I've been discussing, kind of pointing out some of the risks in this market that I think have really resurfaced. Bitcoin is one of the retail favorites, but maybe not so exclusive to retail anymore. Institutional money kind of got into the picture with the launch of ETFs and futures in the last 5 years or so. And what I think is interesting here is with Bitcoin trading back below that really key support we had around 92,000, 93,000 level, that break to the downside to me signals a little bit of the sentiment of this market, this concern about risk assets. It's not coincidental, I think, that bonds have finally had a bit of a breakout move higher at the same time that Bitcoin has had a breakdown lower. So sentiment, oftentimes, in my view, can be studied simply by pulling up a chart of Bitcoin. When it is rising dramatically, people are usually feeling a little good. They're feeling like they have extra money in their pockets. Things are looking on the up. And then when Bitcoin sells off aggressively, it's a bit of a contraction in sentiment.
Very interesting. Thank you very much, guys. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Always a pleasure to be with you, gentlemen.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.